The scripture reading this afternoon is Luke 10, verses 25 through 42. The text this afternoon is Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke 10, beginning at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. And now the words of the text. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So far the reading of God's holy, infallible word. May God place his blessing upon the reading of that word. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the beginning of the year is often the time when we hear about resolutions being made. New Year's resolutions. A resolution is a decision that someone makes, a determined choice, a resolve that a person makes to do something different or to do something better in his life, to change or to improve his or her habits, or perhaps simply to continue to maintain the good habits that he or she has established in his life. Something along those lines is what a resolution is. We often make resolutions at the beginning of a new year because the new year brings with it the idea of a fresh start and perhaps therefore also an added motivation for us to keep our resolutions. Have you made any resolutions for 2016? What are the resolutions that you have made for 2016? Maybe you have resolved to be better with your spending habits. Maybe you have resolved to eat healthier this year, to be more faithful with your exercise routine. Maybe your resolution is to be more faithful with your time, a better steward of your time. Maybe it is simply to have a more cheerful disposition, to work on being content. Or maybe your resolution is to be more hospitable this year and more welcoming to others, thinking more about others and perhaps involving yourself more in the life of the congregation. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you don't make New Year's resolutions as such. As far as New Year's resolutions go, however, there is one resolution that must be made every year. And that is because this is a resolution that we must be making at the beginning not only of every year, but at the beginning of every week and at the beginning of every day. That resolution is this: to make sure I am spending time, quality time, in communion with God. Notice how I put that, congregation. I did not say this to live more devoted to God, or to be more busy in the service of God, or to be more busy in the service of the church, but I said this: to make sure I am spending time, quality time, in communion with God. And to do that on a daily basis. To live in close and rich fellowship with God. To enjoy God. To enjoy His Word. To take the time to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear His Word. Priorities. Priorities are a difficult thing to get in the right order, aren't they? And then when you get them in the right order, it seems even harder to keep them in the right order as you live. The struggle to make the right priorities, to keep the right priorities, is real. And it's not a new struggle simply for us in 2016 with our busy lifestyles. As busy as our lives might seem to us, God's people have always struggled with keeping their priorities straight. That was exactly Martha's struggle in Luke chapter 10. And that's why, while we are still at the beginning of the year, we look at this very, very important event in the life of Jesus. Mary and Martha and Jesus visiting them at their house. Especially as this week begins. And many of us will be getting back into the swing of things after the holidays. And tomorrow morning, school will pick up again, sports will pick up again, Bible studies will be picking up again, and the busyness will pick up again. And we look at this event before us, and we remind ourselves of what Jesus said in the passage. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. One thing is needful, Jesus says. One thing is needful. And Mary chose that good part, to sit at Jesus' feet and to commune with Him, to commune with God. So we take as our theme this afternoon, Mary, Martha, and New Year's resolutions. And we look at that theme under 3 points. First, we notice Martha's serious error. Second, we look at Jesus' loving response. And third, we look at our willing choice. Mary, Martha, and New Year's resolutions. Before we look at Martha's error as such, let us get a glimpse at who these two women were, Martha and Mary. Because we need to be careful here this afternoon. We need to be careful not to judge Martha too harshly. Because when we recognize who Martha is, then we will see that Martha might be describing many of us sitting here this afternoon. Not just women, but men too. Martha might be a picture here of how many of us are living in our own homes and our own families, or with our work, or with our children. For you see, Martha, just like Mary, Martha was one who was devoted to the Lord. Completely devoted to the Lord. She loved the Lord. She wanted to serve the Lord with all that she had, in whatever way that she could. But Martha fell into a serious error. What kind of a woman was Martha? Well, we could probably describe Martha like this. Martha was a very responsible woman who had a strong sense of duty. Martha was one we can imagine who was always volunteering her time to serve others. In the text in verse 38, we read that Jesus came to a village, Bethany, and entered into the house of Martha. This house was Martha's house. And perhaps Mary and Lazarus, her siblings, lived with her in this house. Martha then could easily have been the older of the two sisters. This was her house. And on this particular occasion, Martha must have warmly received Jesus and probably all his 12 disciples with him into her home. And maybe Jesus came here to the house of Martha exactly because Jesus knew he would be warmly welcomed by Martha and her sister. Martha had a strong sense of hospitality. And Martha had a very clear and strong idea of what things needed to be done if you were going to host a guest properly. Hospitality is one of those noble virtues of godliness. The duty of the Christian is to be hospitable. This is what Peter says in 1 Peter. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. This is what Paul says in Romans. Be given to hospitality. One of the qualifications stated in 1 Timothy 3 for the office of elder is this. Given to hospitality. Martha was one who was given to hospitality. And she was right in that regard. And now Martha had the opportunity to prepare a meal for none other than Jesus Christ himself, Jesus and his disciples. And Martha wanted to shine. You can imagine Martha in this passage working hard in the kitchen, trying to prepare the best meal that she could make for Jesus and his disciples, while Jesus and his disciples were in the living room and Jesus was teaching his disciples. That's ultimately what Martha was cumbered with. She was cumbered with much serving, giving herself entirely to preparing a fancy meal for Jesus. Martha, we could say, was a type A woman. She was bold. She was blunt. You see that from this event, how she approaches Jesus. You see that also from other events, when her brother Lazarus dies, for example. If there was one thing that Martha did not approve of, it was a slacker. It was laziness. To put it in today's context, Martha would have been one of those women who wanted to do it all, to be on 4 or 5 committees connected with the life of the church and the school, busy giving herself throughout the day for her children with their music lessons and their sports activities, giving every effort to serve her husband and help him in his work, always racing back and forth, doing this errand and that errand, rushing throughout the day. And as I said, Martha wanted to serve so much because Martha loved Jesus. Because Martha was devoted to Jesus and she wanted to give her best to Jesus and to serve him with all that she had. But now let us make sure we understand this. Mary, her sister, was no less devoted to Jesus. Mary was just as devoted to Jesus as Martha was. But Mary, perhaps helping Martha at first to prepare the meal in the kitchen or to make Jesus comfortable, saw that everything was being sufficiently carried out and the needed hospitality had been shown. And so Mary must have left Martha in the kitchen by herself so that she could go to the living room and fellowship with Jesus. Mary must have thought, if Martha wants to keep making this meal ever more extravagant, well, that's up to her. I'm going to the living room because I want to listen to Jesus' words. And so we read that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. And so while Martha was busy preparing a banquet of food in the kitchen, Mary was already feasting on another meal in the living room, feeding on the word of Jesus. But now here is where we come to Martha's error. You can imagine Martha there in the kitchen, in her home, frantically working as hard and as fast as she can to make the best possible meal for Jesus and his disciples. And as the time went on and Jesus continued to teach his disciples and Mary became entirely absorbed in the words of Jesus as she was sitting at his feet, Martha, working hard in the kitchen, had a slow storm that was brewing in her heart. And she became increasingly agitated and frustrated and upset until finally she could no longer contain herself and she burst out into the living room where Jesus was teaching and she says, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. After all, we can imagine Martha thinking, after all, isn't her place to be in the kitchen with me? Am I not in the right? Tell Mary to get off her chair and to come and help me in the kitchen. Mary, there is work to be done. Now is not the time to be lazy. Help me. What happened in these events? What was going on here with Martha in these events? Well, the passage tells us. You read it, first of all, at the beginning of verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. What does that mean? Well, we can mark out what was happening with Martha here in three steps. First, as you read in verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. And that word cumbered means distracted. Martha was distracted with much serving. And really, that word cumbered has this idea, to be drawn away or to be pulled in all different directions and to be dragged away. The implication then is this. Martha desperately wanted to hear Jesus' words. Martha wanted to fellowship with Jesus in the living room too. She wanted to be with Mary and with the 12 disciples listening to Jesus' gracious words. But she was being pulled away. She was being distracted by the desire to serve and by her sense of duty. You can imagine Martha working hard in the kitchen, cooking over the stove, setting the table, and trying to find time to stand in the doorway of the living room and catch a few words from Jesus. But then she was constantly being dragged into the kitchen by her own burden to prepare a delicious meal for Jesus. She wanted to fellowship with Jesus. Listen, congregation. She wanted to fellowship with Jesus, but she told herself that devotion is practical and that devotion shows itself in busyness and in service. She was distracted with much serving. But then secondly, this distraction, being cumbered about with much serving, led Martha to begin to pity herself. She was overwhelmed with all that she thought needed to be done. She felt like she was scrambling around everywhere, doing all the work. She began to sulk. She was angry with Mary. Look how selfish Mary was being. And then third, this self-pity, this distraction and this self-pity turned into resentment. It's not fair. Doesn't Mary know better? Look at her sitting there in the living room and I'm slaving away. And so she bursts into the room, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Congregation, I think we can understand what Martha was feeling. Martha's feelings can so often be our feelings, can't they? Perhaps we have a strong sense of duty. We want to serve. We want to do our duty. But so easily that sense of duty, that desire to serve, can become a distraction. How often don't we say to ourselves, I want to worship. I want to sit at the feet of Jesus. I want to read the scriptures. I wish the mealtime wasn't so rushed so that we actually had time to sit together and read through the scriptures without rushing through it. How often don't we say to ourselves, I want to have time for Bible study. I want to have time for personal devotions. But our inner Martha keeps distracting us, drawing us away from Jesus' words, drawing us away from personal devotions. And we grow inattentive to Christ and His Word. After all, I've got kids to truck here and there all day long. I've got sports. I've got this project or this renovation at home or in the shed that I want to get done. And we become so frantic and busy with things, maybe that we feel like we're not even in control of ourselves, getting pushed and pulled here and there. And that's how we make our way throughout the day. And then as a result, because we feel ourselves so busy, so filled with obligations, we can start to make excuses for ourselves and we can start to feel sorry for ourselves, self-pity. Will no one help me? Where's my spouse in all of this busyness? Where are the other church members? They're not focused on what I think we need to be focused on. And we become resentful. No one is willing to help me. Start walking with a chip on our shoulders. We become anxious. We become troubled. We become stressed and worn out. And notice, all the while, we're so wrapped up in things, even in good things, even in serving, even in working, that we've kept ourselves outside of God's Word, away from the words of Jesus. I have no time for it. And that very way in which we are conducting ourselves, that attitude that we're carrying with us, is having an effect on us, like it did on Martha. And congregation, notice how Martha's error grows. In verse 40, let us read it again. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Martha, so pent up with frustration, speaks rather irreverently to Jesus, doesn't she? It's almost as if she says, Jesus, you're contributing to the problem. You're part of the problem. And Martha goes even so far as to tell Jesus what to do. And not to be hard on Martha, but to show the danger of her error. Look at how self-righteous Martha is inclined to become. I'm the one who's in the right. And congregation, all of this from a woman who all she wants to do is shine in how she serves the Lord, in the opportunity and in the calling that she has been given. That's how it can happen. Martha's not attending to the words of Jesus. She's off working hard in His service, but she's distracted, not heeding His words. And so it can be with us. And quickly what happens is this. We become so full of busyness and anxieties start to build up. We become sick because we're so busy. And having starved ourselves of the benefit of God's Word, we can quickly become narrow-minded, self-absorbed, judgmental, fault-finding with others. Others in our family, others at work, others in the church. We can even begin to find fault with God. After all, He's the one who's made us so busy. He's the one who's given me this schedule. Why doesn't God give me time for personal devotions? No, Pastor, I don't do devotions. I don't do devotions because I don't have the time of day to do devotions. I don't have time for Jesus' words. I don't have time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Nice for Mary. Nice for her. She can sit at the feet of Jesus while I work. She doesn't have the kind of devotion to Jesus that I have. That can happen quickly. Yes, it can. It can happen as quickly as the time it takes to prepare a meal. And in all of this, what was Martha's error? What was her error? Let us be clear, congregation. Her error was not her desire to serve. Certainly not. Martha is to be commended for that. Her error was not even in how busy she was. There's nothing wrong in being busy, and the text doesn't even say that Martha was busy. She was just distracted, cumbered with much serving. That's the point. She was distracted. How busy wasn't Jesus in his earthly ministry? Jesus didn't waste a minute's time. Laziness is the sin we need to be on guard against. Martha is to be commended for her zeal to serve the Lord. That's why Jesus speaks affectionately to her. Martha, Martha. Martha's error was this. Priorities. Her priorities were wrong. Her New Year's resolutions were in the wrong order. Her priorities should have been different. She should have recognized that a light meal for Jesus would have satisfied him. Jesus didn't care about a big fancy meal. She should have recognized that more time sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his words would have been better for her. After all, how often do you get Jesus Christ over for fellowship in your own living room, especially when he's approaching the end of his earthly ministry? Martha wanted to serve, but she should have recognized what was more needful for her. Not that she should serve Jesus, but that she should feed on his words and spend time with him in communion. She was depriving herself of Christ while she was even trying to serve Christ. And all of this comes out very clearly in the loving response that Jesus gives Martha. Jesus says in verses 41 and 42, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, anxious, and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Martha's all worked up. She's anxious and stressed. And Jesus answers her very tenderly and affectionately, repeating her name, Martha, Martha. And Martha thinks she's in the right. So much so that when she goes to the living room, she thinks Jesus will quickly take her side. And Jesus gently corrects her. Martha, one thing is needful. Not a fancy meal. Not a properly set table. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part. What one thing is needful? Well, Jesus doesn't say it explicitly, does he, with words. Instead, Jesus merely points Martha to the example of her sister. And what is her sister doing? There is Mary, quietly sitting at the feet of Jesus, soaking in every word Jesus is speaking, fellowshipping, communing with her Savior. Jesus says, Martha, I would have preferred your fellowship, your company here in the living room, over all that extra work you're doing in the kitchen. And Jesus says, Martha, this is what is more needful for you. Jesus is not saying here that earthly responsibilities and duties are unnecessary. Jesus is not calling us here to live a monastic life, a life of simply sitting there and meditating on Jesus. We do have our duties in life. Our work is our calling. Showing hospitality is our calling, and we sin if we neglect these responsibilities. We are called to do our best in these callings. And Jesus even encourages us. He says, you give a cup of cold water to one of these, my disciples, and you will in no wise lose your reward. But what Jesus is saying in this event to Martha is this. This one thing is needful. This one thing is your top priority for 2016. And he points Martha to Mary. And he points all of us this afternoon to Mary. And it's as if Jesus says, this is it. Sitting at my feet and hearing my word. This is a spiritual responsibility that transcends all other responsibilities because this is what you need. And the reality is this, only when you take care of this responsibility can you be spiritually strengthened and equipped to carry out your other responsibilities faithfully. Because this is the one thing that is needed. What you need from me, Jesus says. Not what I need from you, not what you can give me. And notice what Jesus says. And Mary hath chosen that good part. This was a choice Mary had to make. A deliberate, conscious choice. Mary was just as devoted to Jesus as Martha was. But Mary saw and understood that at this time, this was more needful to attend to the words of Jesus. You can imagine Mary standing there in between the kitchen and the living room, and she sees Martha hustling about in the kitchen preparing the meal. She sees Jesus in the living room fellowshipping with his disciples and teaching them about the things of the kingdom. And you can imagine Mary there looking one way, looking the other way, and saying, I'll make my choice. This is more needful for me. Well, there's a broader application in Jesus' loving response as well. It has to do with this whole idea of serving. There is this idea of serving that is pervasive, that Christian service is the be-all and the end-of-all of the Christian life. Serve, serve, serve. We were born to serve. Christ saved us that we might serve Him. You might hear those things. Well, of course, all of those things are true. Service has its place. Jesus demands it of us. Christ died that we might serve Him. But what this particular text beautifully emphasizes is this. There is one thing that is necessary for us. And it is not anything that we can ever do for God. It is not our service to God. God doesn't need our service to get by. Jesus Christ can get on just fine without our service. The one thing needful is not for us to be in service to God, but exactly for us to be served by God. The one thing for us that is needful is not that which we can give to Jesus, but that which we need from Jesus. And sad to say, I think this is where many Christians are exhausting themselves and expending themselves and starving themselves spiritually. Their spiritual lives become weaker and weaker, watered down, and they are struggling as a Christian to live for God's glory. Because they're so focused on trying to serve, perhaps, doing acts of service, even in the house, in the family, running here and there and everywhere. And they're trying to do the work Jesus has given them to do without ever taking the time to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to Jesus and draw spiritual nourishment and strength out of Jesus. That's where we must be on guard for ourselves in the busyness of life. Many will say they are so busy that they don't have time for quality fellowship with Jesus, with God in His Word and in prayer. But that's something that the cross of Jesus Christ emphasizes to us. Jesus Christ did not come to the earth to be served, but Jesus came to earth to serve. That's what Jesus says in Mark 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And not only is it perhaps pride, but it is extremely dangerous on our part. If we think we can serve Jesus faithfully day by day in our lives without first having him serve us in personal devotions and prayer. We have nothing. We have nothing outside of Jesus Christ and his cross. But in his glorious work on the cross and through his work and by his Holy Spirit are found all the riches that will equip us and give us strength for every calling that God gives to us, no matter how busy our lives might be. We need to be daily drawing out of Jesus Christ that we might live faithfully before him in all good works, serving him, fulfilling the callings he's given to us. What I can also add is this. What we do for Jesus is not the heart of our relationship with him. What we do for Jesus is not the heart of our relationship with him. Jesus prizes our friendship and our fellowship more highly than all our service. Jesus wants us to be with him and to know him. Jesus wants us to fellowship with him. Jesus says, Mary hath chosen that good part. And what is that good part that Mary chose? Well, it was the Word. It was Jesus Christ himself. Mary wasn't cumbered about. Mary wasn't distracted. Mary wasn't self-absorbed. Mary wasn't resentful. Mary wasn't anxious and troubled. Mary was filled with peace. Because Mary had chose to commune with Jesus. Communion with Jesus Christ throughout the day keeps us from becoming anxious and troubled. And Jesus says, Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And what that last part could mean is this. Either that what Mary has chosen will never be taken away from her. She's chosen the fruit of Jesus' teaching to be instructed by Jesus, and that learning, that instruction will never be taken away. But perhaps the better idea is this. That Jesus would not allow Martha to draw Mary away from sitting at the feet of Jesus. Don't take Mary away, Martha, so that she will serve with you in the kitchen. This will not be taken away from her sitting at my feet. But rather, you come and sit with her at my feet and fellowship with me. And we can imagine that that's how this scene ultimately ended. Martha sitting beside Mary at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word and fellowshipping with him. After all, that's what Martha really wanted in the depths of her heart. But she had been distracting herself with all that she thought she had to do. Well, this was Mary's choice, Mary's willing choice, her deliberate choice to commune with her Savior, to commune with her God, to fellowship with Jesus. She wasn't going to be dragged away, but she was going to fellowship with Jesus and make that her priority. There will be time for setting the table and sitting around the table. My priority right now is this. That was her choice. And the question that comes to us at the beginning of 2016 is this. What will your choice be? The choice is not a matter of different personalities. That's not the difference here. Although there must have been different personalities involved. The choice is not a matter of choosing to be busy or choosing to be idle. Or really even choosing to be less busy. But the reality is also this. It's not as if we now have to make a choice simply to add another item on our to-do list. Oh yes, go to work, run some errands, go grocery shopping, make supper, do devotions, go to Bible study, as if devotions and these things are just another religious obligation to check off. And they're making our lives busier and more hectic and more stressful and more of a burden. No, that's not it. The choice is this. Prioritizing the different activities of our lives, either according to our own estimation of them or according to Jesus' estimation of them in the passage. At the beginning of every day, I can ask myself, what is the one thing needful for today? And there will be two possibilities that come to mind. The one thing needful today is that which is weighing on my mind, the work that I need to do, the deadline I need to meet. That's what's most important. Or the one thing needful today is that which Jesus told me in Luke 10. To make sure that I'm reserving some time to spend in communion with God and in His Word. That's why we need to be jealous for our Sundays and not fill Sunday with all kinds of distractions, Facebook events, online shopping, and garage sale, and sharing a page with my friends. We need to be jealous of our time. We need to be jealous of our Sundays just as much. Where God gives us our callings, He also gives us the time to do all those things that He has truly called us to do, including that calling to spend some of our time in private communion with Him. Do we have time for devotions, for time in God's Word, and time in prayer each day? In the busyness of this life, with all the ways in which God is calling me to serve Him? Well, the reality is, we don't have the time to skip devotions, to skip our personal and private communion with God and with our Savior. Life is short, congregation. 2016 will be short. It will be busy. Tomorrow morning, for many of us, perhaps, it will start up again. There will be many temptations to prioritize all different kinds of things ahead of Jesus Christ and ahead of quiet time with God in His Word. No matter who you are, young or old, this is true for you. Young people, this is something that you will have to be facing in 2016. Hopefully you learn it when you're young. Do I have time for personal devotions? Do I have time for Bible study? Do I have time to be in God's Word and in prayer? Or will I be cumbered about with much serving and much distraction and be full of anxieties and troubles? I can ask the question that I asked in the introduction. Have you made any resolutions for 2016? What are those resolutions that you have made? What are your priorities? We might be devoted to the right things, good things, but do we have the right priorities? And I finish with these words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for Jesus Christ and the time we can commune with Him and hear Him even through the Word this afternoon. We pray that we may have heard Christ's Word and have fellowship with Him and worship Thee. We pray, Father, bless this preaching to our hearts and our lives, that we might delight in spending time communing with Thee and making that a priority. Because this, Father, we know is what we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.